Yeah, my blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation and marches alone.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. We have Teen Rap coming up with Pastor Drew Sams. You can follow me on Facebook at the A Dad's Point of View Facebook page, and you can also follow me on Twitter at Bruce Salen. But it is time for Teen Rap with Pastor Drew Sams. Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village for the last 6 years. He's also finishing up doctoral work through George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Drew and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village, California, and are expecting baby Drew in April. So as usual, Pastor Drew, I want a baby update.
Hey, things are going great. Thanks for always asking. It means so much to me.
It means a lot to me. I feel like I'm Uncle Bruce.
I know, Uncle Bruce. Well, we are officially on day two of the third trimester.
Oh.
So from my understanding, I'm learning all this as I, you know, stepped into this for the first time, but a delivery nurse said to us recently, now that we're in the third trimester, if for some reason that baby wants to come out, for some reason, most likely they'd be able to take care of it and NICU, and so we're in the hot zone. Things can happen anytime between now and when the baby's due on April 25th.
Oh, the truth is that with the technology the way it is now, if the baby does want to come out early, you'll just have a little time more in the hospital with the baby, but he will do just fine.
Boy, and speaking of which, did you see that recent news story? I know it was a couple months ago now, but was it 9 ounces that baby was born in California and survived? One of the, like, the second smallest child ever to be born and survived. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't see that one.
Nine ounces.
9 ounces. 9 ounces.
I
eat 9 ounces at lunch. That's so little. That's so funny.
I know.
Okay, Pastor Drew, values, our kids, money, the real world. What would you like to talk about?
Boy, there's so much to start with. Well, let's just start with my experience working with parents and teens. So I've been, as you know, it's been about 8 years now working with
8 years?
Eight years.
I got to update that.
Well, between Calvary and my role before.
Okay.
Calvary, it's coming up on 7.
Okay.
And I've found that there is this moment when children enter into the next stage of life. Usually it's after high school, where there becomes to be a tremendous problem for those students who have never had the opportunity to manage money on their own. And it's usually when they get off to college or trade school or whatever it is after high school, and they're using parents' credit card, and they just have no idea the linkage, the connection between work to earn money to get things. And they just charge the card, and all of a sudden there's this, you know, $10,000 credit card bill the first year of college, beyond the books and everything, and the parents bring them in and say, you know, what do we do? And I wish I could go back
in time. No. The parents first call up and scream at the kid.
True.
That's the first step. You forgot step one. Then one of them calms down the other, and then they proceed to figure out what they should do. And if they've talked to anyone like you, you probably have reminded them that they hadn't done anything to prepare their kid prior to this point. So why are they surprised?
Exactly. So I wish I could give them in the past this article. And that's what I think I'm going to forward this article you've written this week to them, because I love the connection that you make between helping kids earn money to get things. And even just the idea of having a bank account where they can learn to save and to you know, balance their checkbook and understand that not just money doesn't grow on trees, but things don't grow on trees.
You know, you brought up an example, and I happen to have a very good, I think, solution to the credit card problem. Do not give them a credit card. Give them only a debit card. That way, when they overdraft, so to speak, or go over the limit, it will not work. Rather than a credit card, and there's a potential surprise. My kids have debit cards. That's all. They know how much is in it. They have access to their online accounts. They earn their allowance, and once a month they get paid. It goes in their debit account, And if they see, I just did the and there. We were talking about how we all have these pause or these idiosyncrasies about speaking, and I just did it again, the and. But that way, if they spend all the money that they have for the month and the first week, they go without any of the things that they want that are the extras, because they pay for their extras. I mean, we pay for life, but they pay for the extras, movies. We actually have also created a clothing budget. They get a certain amount of money per month over the course of the year for their clothes. We don't buy their clothes. And you have no idea. There, I did it again in the end. You have no idea how they now buy their clothes. My younger son waits for sales. He goes to Target, whereas he used to not pay attention. He buys at Costco, and he buys on sale. And if he finds a really good sale, he'll buy two of them because he knows it's such a good deal. There's no way he would do that if it was my money.
Do you think that how we've kind of gone away from a cashless society, and by that I mean, you know, so much of our money is invisible to us, whether it's, you know, debit card or credit card. Do you think that, let's say, 50 years ago, when everything was mostly cash?
Or checks.
Or checks, of course.
But checks were real.
True, they were tangible.
Yeah.
Do you think that that has made it harder for people to manage money well because so much of it's just invisible?
Without a doubt. And then you have the credit card companies that try to suck you into their debt and Madison Avenue that makes you feel you need everything today. And the combination of all that has created the worst debt in our country's history for individuals.
Well, I really like how you've even taken a look at things that they have to have, clothes, for example. So this isn't, you know, dispensable income. It's not money for movies. It's not money for video games or music. But they're clothes, and I think so many parents. Boy, I wouldn't have thought of that. I would have probably just thought, well, as a parent, I got to get my kids clothes. But now you've taught them the value of saving.
Now, we take them. We go shopping with them. We've taught them. Hmm. But it was really funny because our younger son, we explained this whole idea that we're now giving you a clothing allowance. And the first month or two, he kept on saying, well, I don't want to have to pay for it. It's like he could not grasp it at first. My older son got it right away. And now they both completely understand it. I have found it to be very useful. But you have to know your kids. You have to know how old they were. I mean, we didn't start this sort of thing until they were both teenagers. So it varies with the kids. By the way, you mentioned earlier, Pastor Drew, that you might want to use the column to put it out to some of your parents. You know, of course, you are welcome to use any of my columns anytime without needing to request it. You can print them, publish them. I mean, be my honor and pleasure.
Great.
First of all, I love your community, and anything that would be of use is certainly, I would like it to be done.
Well, I think it's so hard to get in this culture because we think mistakenly that loving our kids is providing everything they want. Often I have parents then come to me years later and say, you know, almost as like a badge of honor. They say, well, you know, I spoil my kids, but you can't fault me for that, can you?
You bet you can.
And boy, culturally, I think that there's a lot of things we need to undo in order for kids.
Well, like I often say, I think it's another a bad byproduct of the baby boomer generation, my generation, the 60s, which is all about feeling good, do what feels good, make love, not war. I mean, all the values that I think have undercut the great values of the greatest generation and the values that my parents grew up with, the people that survived the Depression. Now we have people that don't understand how to survive the recession, and it's not good for our kids. And part of that is that too many parents, and you and I have talked about this before, they want to be their kid's best friend rather than their best parent. And that's not your job. Your job is not to be their buddy. Your job is to be a good mom or a good dad or both. I mean, if you have a mom and a dad. So on that note, we are out of time, Pastor Drew, as it often goes by so quickly. I'm going up to Mammoth today, so I wish you'd come with me one of these weeks.
I know. One day. We've talked about it. Let's make it happen.
Where can our listeners find you, Pastor Drew?
Well, I'm just now getting back into blogging at wewillsinganewsong.com.
Okay, that is wewillsinganewsong.com. Thank you again for being on the show. Love having you, Pastor Drew.
And have a great time up in the snow.
I will indeed. We will be back after this break with special guest Michael Vuga. Did I say it right? Michael Vuga. It is an interesting name. Stay tuned for our special guest, Michael Vuga.
If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why. Oh, why can't my dreams